Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West. Episode 46. I am one of your hosts, Nat, and with me today is...
Pat!
And Alex. Apparently also Nat.
Kat forgot she was here, actually. This is episode 46 of Capes and Scowls
okay,
West.
Okay, everybody always does.
We're going to be talking a little bit of comic book news today. A couple short trailer reactions, probably not a big discussion. And then we're going to talk about fandom, how to be a good fan, and some of the problems that we see as we try to be fans of things. But first, we're going to do a quick top of the stack today. I'll go ahead and lead us off because I've been touting this freaking book now for a few months. Batman Detective Comics 1004, written by Pete Tomasi with art by Brad Walker. Man, I have fucking names today. With inks by Andrew Hennessy.
I mean, I started that train.
Right? My name's Jeff. This is just the origin story of the Arkham Knight. It felt like Batman the Animated Series. You should be reading this book if you're a Batman fan. That's what I gotta say.
Nice.
Can't spoil it because I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to be cryptic. You know, not leaning into anything there. But it's a great read.
I have some reading to do.
Pretty succinct. Well, I guess I'll go next.
Cool.
Mine is also a continuation of a comic I've been touting. This is Martian Manhunter, written by, Steve Orlando and, Riley Rasmo. That's right, I wanted to say Robert real quick. Nat's covering his ears because he doesn't want spoilers, but I'm not going to give any spoilers because this is the best book I'm reading currently. If it's not up for an Eisner next year, I will be sorely disappointed, either in art or writing, and it's amazing, it's incredible, and I love it. And if you don't, you're wrong. So, you're a bad fan. anyway, that's about it.
I did hear that last part.
I don't have a top of the stack with me, but I can choose one.
What do you got?
Yeah.
Assassin Nation. Really good read. I don't think anybody else is reading it right now, but it's really good.
Are literally the only person reading this book.
Oh my God.
Just kidding.
It's so good. So, mainly it's really good because the artwork really carries the story. Like, it keeps it more lighthearted, which is hilarious because in every issue it's like, bam, that person randomly dies, as fits with Assassin Nation. But the artwork keeps it, like, almost when people die, it's laughable. Like, you're like, that was kind of awesome.
And but, we got to shout out that artist. That's Erica Henderson of Unbeatable Squirrel Girl fame.
Is it really?
Assassination.
Huh? She's doing like a pulpy assassin book now. Oh, I love it. She's...
Image Comics.
It's pretty good.
Her style is great. I can only imagine it in something like that.
Yeah. Who's writing that book? Incoming. We'll find it.
Yes. Incoming.
I feel like that means a research moment.
Kat, you want to see who's doing the writing of Assassination?
Yeah.
Great, like, word pun, too, for the name, because it's Assassin Nation.
Mm-hmm.
But if you read it fast, it's just Assassination.
Mm-hmm.
Assassination. So, like, yeah. Kudos to writers.
Hey, wordplay.
Wordplay.
Nice.
Kat, also, do you have a top of the stack, or what have you been... top of the stack is top of the computer stack of...
The top of my stack has been, hang on, I just found your comic.
Okay.
The top of my stack has been Borderlands, because I've chosen to disregard all of my responsibilities and play that instead.
You know what? There's probably quite a huge portion of our listeners that have been like, why the hell do they never talk about video games? So...
That'll be more incoming. That's stuff I'm working on, but I've been stuck in one series because the third one, they're like, oh yeah, everything's gonna be in it, including the Telltale game, and then the pre-sequel, and then the second one, and the first one. I'm like, I've only played the second. Fuck!
I'm really sad that Telltale, like, screwed up there. Kyle Starks.
It's Kyle Starks is your writer for Assassination Nation.
Awesome. Yeah, right, you know what? Talking about, like, Telltale, like, I wish that company hadn't, like, completely screwed the pooch on their, like, infrastructure, because I'm playing the Telltale Batman games right now.
They're really good.
They're fantastic.
Wait till you get the second one, too. They're really good. And honestly, they did the comic of the first game, I believe, and I'm like, well, you screwed the pooch. You can't put this in writing. And that's the other thing, too, is Spider-Man City at War, same thing. That is supposed to be based off of the video game, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not saying you're a bad writer, but you got a bad, you got a bad.
Just not working.
It's just not working. I'm like, the game is so much better.
It's a really interesting thing. It's like a question of adaptations. But that's actually a great discussion for another day. Mm-hmm. It's like how things get adapted.
Right.
Cool. But Kat, you did just find some really interesting news about Sonic the Hedgehog, apparently.
I did.
Just right now, yeah.
Yeah, because I was just kind of doing all of my responsibilities and checking for late-breaking news. That's totally what I was doing.
Exactly.
Sonic the Hedgehog movie has been delayed till February 14th, 2020. So for Valentine's Day, you can bring your sweetie to a fluffy blue movie.
Is there not a Marvel movie that's being released? Oh, no, is it February 2021 that the Marvel films are being released?
I can't remember, but Black Panther is either 2020 or 2021.
It's 2020. They're giving it 10 months before they release the next movie.
Breaking news, Sonic is being buried.
considering the sheer amount of people who got so upset about that movie,
Well, that's understandable that they delayed that because of that. Because I guess they want to rework it a little bit, but they probably should have been thinking more about when they're delaying it till, apparently.
That's almost embarrassing. Yeah.
I'm actually double-checking that, because I know that Marvel did a full release calendar, and I'm kind of...
They did.
Yeah. But, you know. Now, why don't you have 20 movie dates memorized?
I do normally. But since there's no specific titles announced with it.
The first movie release is going to be 10 months after Spider-Man releases. And Spider-Man releases in July, right?
Yes, first week
of July. So it'll be, like, about February 2020. Okay. If they release the next movie.
My feeling is that
Black Panther 2,
I actually think that is going to be Black Widow.
Black Widow?
Because I think Black Widow is, all of the movies...
I mean, it is pegged for the year 2020.
It is the movie that's farthest along in pre-production, at least that we know of. It's the movie that's farthest along. Yeah. And I think Eternals would probably be the next one after that. It's just a matter of...
Apparently, they're only going to be releasing 2 movies a year, though. Marvel has decided.
They're moving to 2 for the next year and a half, and then it'll be 3 again. I think starting in 2021, even, that they'll...
I thought they were taking a minute for some of those movies, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. Wow, we have gotten very off track already.
Well,
we're just trying to figure out news things.
Breaking news, exactly.
Yeah.
It's breaking to us as well.
So, oh no, the first untitled Marvel movie is not until May of 2020.
Okay. So it'll be 2020.
At least they're giving them more time to take care of it, do it correctly, and I always appreciate things like that. Like, kind of when they backpedaled Arkham Knight for another 6 months because they're having frame rate issues, and I'm like, good, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So if they're not going directly at another Marvel film, that is probably a decent release date for them, because February has been fairly good for geek movies in the past couple years.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Next.
Next. Well, we'll stay in the Marvel just sort of pseudo discussion. Unfortunately, the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl will be ending at issue number 50.
Oh.
But this appears to be Ryan North's decision that he wants to end the series on a high note.
At least that's good. At least it's not Marvel saying no more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, I don't think they would, because I mean, she has movies and TV shows.
Right.
And all this stuff now.
I've never seen them make mistakes with things, ever.
I think that they'll probably
very sarcastic.
relaunch a Squirrel Girl series, but it may not be in the same vein as what they did with this particular
Well, they did a similar
series,
thing. So. They did a similar thing with Jessica Jones, where they stopped, let it breathe for a while, so probably everybody could forget how great that writer was, to let the new writer try and get their own spin on things.
I really hope that Ryan North stays in the world of comic books. I mean, he's published, he's publishing, a book a year also on the side, but,
I hope DC snatches him up to do a comedic take on something.
That would be, oh my god, that would be so good.
I think that would be probably great for,
Plastic Man. Oh, that would be, dude.
Whoa.
Great pull, Kat. Ryan North on Plastic Man. I'd be all about that.
That would be great.
Yeah. Just partner him with a good artist and we'll be...
Mm-hmm. Or a Harley Quinn book.
If you could do more of a toned, I actually could see that too.
Yeah, I
think I like Plastic Man better.
I
feel a little beat to death with Harley Quinn, and plus there's Amanda Connor, and I'm like, but can you replace her? I haven't Fair seen enough. It so far.
Yeah, I'm sad.
I would like to see him do a male figure, I guess is what it is.
That's true.
I don't read any of these lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't read Squirrel Girl. I've never read any Plastic Man.
I don't think I've ever read
Harley Quinn.
I just know he's more of a comedic character.
Yeah. I just, when I read this news, I immediately thought of you, Patrick. But the thought that I had was, it's really weird that the things that got you into comics are ending.
Yeah, Ms. Marvel. Well, I mean, it relaunched.
Well, Ms. Marvel.
Jane Foster switched into her new role.
Yeah.
As Valkyrie.
Miles Morales went to a new writing team for the first time since Bendis.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, Jessica Jones is supposed to go to a new writer.
I feel like they've taken this.
A new writer, too.
Which one?
Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones.
Yeah, because it was Bendis before. So.
Bendis is just so good.
The age of Patrick is coming to an end.
And I'm standing over here like, Superman, la la la.
I don't know. It's an interesting thought. So here's the news that, moving into just... my opinions of the Batman main title have been fairly outspoken. I have nothing against Tom King as a writer. Mm-hmm. I just have not been a fan of what's been happening in the books.
The slow burn's hard.
But it appears that Tom King is now leaving Batman earlier than had originally expected.
Gasp.
Really?
It was supposedly supposed to be like till issue 105 that it was going to be this overall 100-issue arc. But the number now that peeps to be floating around is 85.
Ooh, that's significant.
So, that's a big jump.
Yeah, he's not leaving the character. It sounds like maybe they're going to do some sort of mini-series that can wrap up his story, but it will not be in the main Batman title. There's a lot of... He still has a positive relationship with DC. Everything seems fine there.
He probably is getting a little tired, too.
Maybe. And probably the reactions to things have been...
Yeah.
But coming with this news was numbers, and it looks like for over the past 6 months, the drop from Batman titles has been about 20,000 units that have shipped out. So... per month, they've dropped.
My face is shocked because we still don't have a camera, but the shock is there.
Yeah, wow. I mean, like, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. That to me, you know, we're gonna do a deep dive discussion here pretty soon. I think that's how you do fandom correctly. Is if you know what, I'm not liking this, I'm not gonna read it.
Yeah, can always stop.
Yeah, it's like I'm not going to badmouth Tom King. Like I said, I think he's a fantastic writer. I think Mr. Miracle is incredible.
The slow burn is hard, vision. And I don't think he does well with a slow
How long
burn.
Has he been writing Batman for, too?
Issue 1 in 2016. So he's been on the book from the beginning of Rebirth.
Maybe he needs to take a page out of Ryan North's book and, you know, quit while he's ahead.
I think one of the problems, and you're talking about the slow burn, Kat, is the bi-weekly shipping. Schedule. It's like he's been writing 2 issues a month for this character since 2016. How much needs to be filler and how much needs to be story?
How much story? Well, because that's the exact reason why G. Willow quit Miss Marvel is because she was terrified that she's just run out of source material.
Well, and I think for anybody, and it goes for anyone writing anything, if you continuously write something for a long, long, continuously long time, you're not always going to be as good as you started. And I think some people also hit the point where they're like, I don't want to hate this. And I'm not saying that he hates Batman, but...
Right.
You know, it's just kind of one of those things where he's kind of like, I think I'm going to take some time.
Yeah.
Which is good. I mean, refresh yourself, get writing other things, you know?
Yeah, and it's harder in the world of comic books because of the release schedule.
Yeah.
It's not like he's writing novels and he can just
George
R. R. Martin release it whenever he wants.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's a monthly thing. That's your gig. That's how you're making, that's how you're paying
exactly.
rent. Or the mortgage, whatever.
Yeah.
Any thoughts? I don't think you've been reading Batman.
No, I haven't. Yeah,
like I said, it's the. I think it's.
Sorry, guys.
I think it's reading Nightwing. I think it's the slow burn because I would think about. I'd think about Mr. Miracle. What is it? I can't even think of what it's called. You know, here is a crisis. God, I am airheaded today. And just a lot of the stuff. Yeah, a lot of the stuff that he's written, and none of them are really like. In this big of bulk, he's like, all right, I got 12 issues, let's do this, and now he's like, I've got 105.
1,200 issues.
That's a long run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It is. Anyhow.
Moving on. I just got a quick moment. The Star Wars Vanity Fair images have dropped from Rise of the Skywalker, The Rise of Skywalker. It's very important to say that correctly because there's a lot of, like, what that could mean. But pictures are fantastic. It's Annie Leibovitz doing her, I don't call it an annual photo shoot, but it is one whenever there's a Star Wars release. Major things that stood out to me is seeing Kerry Russell's character is one of the most beautiful costume designs I've seen, period, regardless of Star Wars, anything else. What?
Is that the person playing Rey?
No, Kerry Russell is playing a bounty hunter kind of character, but she looks like a purple Power Ranger.
That's amazing.
It's like there's Egyptian qualities to the design. It looks like she has long hair pulled back into like a really crazy
mask. The reason
mask.
I won't look at these is I've watched the one trailer. That's it. That's all I'm watching. Yeah.
and that's fair. Rule. This got me more excited. There's a character who's using a normal bow and arrow. Like, it's Star Wars techified, but it is literally, like, you can see the bolts that they're picking up and putting into the bow, and it's this double-limbed compound bow. It looks awesome. So, yeah, I was just really excited by these images. Plus, they confirmed the Knights of Ren. That is not going to be...
Now that I want to go do outdoor things. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, so... So that was a cool one for me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Star Wars.
Star Wars! So, we'll do into some quick trailer reactions. Terminator Dark Fate, which is a movie I'm incredibly excited for, released their first teaser trailer thing. First trailer.
Was it, they call it a teaser, and I'm like, isn't this just a trailer?
Yeah, I mean...
That was a full theatrical trailer.
Yeah, it felt... Okay. I liked it. I have my problems. The things that I didn't like were the action. Like, I loved all of the story elements, because I got this weird Blade Runner-y vibe about exploring what humanity is. When she says, I am human, but she seems to appear to be a Terminator. So, like, is that going to be a major theme? What does that say about the future of what we do to fight Skynet far in the future?
That's kind of already been a theme in their series before, though. Because there's, like, a whole... I can't remember which movie it is, but they explore, like, how the Terminator is basically, like, John Connor's father. Because that's, like, the closest thing he's ever known to a dad. I think that might be number two, actually.
It's three.
Three
explores the idea that it was his dad, like that the Terminator figure was the closest thing. But they're retconning three, Salvation, Jenny Smith. Was there any other ones?
The
fact that there's six of these is always upsetting.
I think Terminator Genesis was the last one. I never
saw
that movie.
Starting to feel like the same thing.
Well, that's the hope, right? The Cameron is back in a major producerial role, and then Tim Miller is directing this one. Tim Miller is most famous for. Deadpool.
Just stopped.
What if he has a really good idea, though, of where to put this story? Like, if it's a generational tale? Because, okay, I'm getting too deep into it. Patrick, what was your initial thoughts of this trailer?
Cool.
Cool? That's it?
Cool.
Okay.
It's a Terminator movie. I don't really know what more you want from me. It's going to be robots
so many of them.
Fighting other robots and also humans fighting robots, too. So.
And time travel.
Yeah. Yeah. Not really... a huge element, I guess, but I mean, for the movies themselves, there's not really, like...
The whole purpose of the film is time travel. It's to prevent the apocalypse. They're going back in time to
save the savior
of humanity.
When you say time travel is an element in the movie, to me that means time travel is an active element in the movie that they are time traveling. Like, this is Primer.
Gotcha.
This is Endgame. This is Looper. Something like that.
So not that time travel is a genesis for the story, but it actually is an active element in the story.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. We will see people traveling through time, but we're only going to see their landing more than likely. It's like when they
like
arrive
Terminator.
Here.
Yeah, it's a robot from the future in the past. Boom, that's all the time travel you get.
Reese is
but that's what all of the movies are about. You've seen one Terminator, you've seen them all. They're all the same.
Ouch.
Except Terminator Salvation.
I actually really like Salvation as well.
Because it's not like any of the other Terminator.
No,
because
they went into the future and actually are showing what's happening there with John Connor.
Yep.
So, but I think this has the potential to be a generational tale. It looks like maybe John is dead, and that's why there's a bigger concern why new Terminators are being sent, because maybe a new savior has been found. And I got that from the trailer, what Linda Hamilton saying to that character is, I used to be you.
That's a stupid plot. Because they've already done it with... You know what?
So that's like an anti-remake statement then. You don't like things being remade either?
No, it's... I mean, it feels like it wasn't that long ago. They've made movies recently that were based off the original storyline. They're just...
But they're retconning the other films to say that Terminator Judgment Day was a success. So that they prevented Judgment Day. So why are we here now?
But how is this movie going to be different from Judgment Day as a movie?
That's the thing. It's like what did we prevent?
Like that's going to be the big plot twist to me. Is if it distinguishes itself as a film
from that's fair. I don't know. The trailer, the story elements of the trailer were what intrigued me. The action looked like it wasn't ready for us to be viewed.
Cool.
Like yeah, bad CG.
Cool.
Yeah. Bottom line.
Also, for anybody interested, there's a cut out there with the original 1984 soundtrack.
I mean, I've never seen any of the Terminator movies, but I...
You almost say that, there should be a shrug afterwards. When I hear it, I'm like, all I can think about is a shrug.
Right. Well, we got another trailer. It's His Dark Materials, which when Patrick texted me, I really was searching for the wrong thing. But it's a new HBO series that is about the Golden Compass story. You explain that to us, because I'm like...
actually finish reading those books. They're pretty good.
They're so Philip Pullman's classic novel trilogy, His Dark Materials. They tried to do a movie trilogy of it a few years back, but they only got the first book, The Golden Compass, out. They did not do it credit. I mean, it's a decent movie, but the books are just incredible. And I think giving it time on HBO to breathe as a story, and there's incredible world building that goes on in it. Big stars, we have James McAvoy. Lin-Manuel Miranda. Ooh. And Daphne Keene, aka Laura Kinney from Logan.
X-23?
Yep, she's going to be Lyra. I'm forgetting her last name. It's some long British last name in the books, but...
I was really confused by this trailer because she spoke, and I forgot that, it's like, she's so X-23 in my head that I was like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, I know, right? I had to look her up because I was like, wow, from the trailer, it's a completely different character, and she's only 14.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's ever going to be able to see her say anything, because when I was watching the trailer, I'm pretty sure I had a friend sitting next to me that was like, was that X-23? And I'm like, is she known as anything other than X-23?
I mean, we'll see if this show, it comes off, then she might only be known as Lyra.
Yeah. Which is kind of cool.
We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, there's a fuzzy polar bear in it. People will probably
like, right? Seriously, I saw that. I was like, oh my god, CG has gotten so far.
Well, the other part of it is I'm curious to see...
Fuzzy polar bear wearing suit of armor that brutally murders people.
Yeah, pretty much.
That looks pretty good. I want to watch it.
God, if HBO wasn't so expensive.
Yeah, see, and I'm probably just going to read the books and be like, I'm fine.
Oh, man. Books are so good. I'm really excited just because
I hate being smarter now, though, because I can see all the stuff in it. I'm like, no, I just want the story.
Things exist on their own, right? They're two independent things.
Exactly. Anywho, So, yeah, for all you Game of Thrones fans out there that are like, what am I going to do with my life now? This comes out in a couple months.
Didn't they also say they're doing, seven different spinoffs from Game of Thrones?
Five.
I'm just gonna
put this out here. You know what else you can do? You can read the actual books too. There's things called, I'm not gonna shame you into reading, but I'm gonna shame you into reading a little bit.
Well, not to mention, there's enough differences between the books and the shows that it's gonna feel like a new experience for you.
Because they just kind of...
Yeah, and
season four is when they left. They went right instead of left.
Their changes as early as season two.
Is it two? Okay, but yeah, point made. There's also books. There's plenty of books, and I will even write you a column of what books I can suggest for you to read.
You keep talking about reading books.
I know. How
they're not
right.
Comic books. Okay, I don't know what he wants to do.
Do you read things that don't have pictures in them?
Yeah, what? Just the narration.
Yeah,
dialogue boxes.
Yeah, you have to create the pictures in your head. I know I'm asking a lot, but.
I just logistically, I don't understand the page layouts when there's just words.
It's, I mean, I'd like to point out, you can get them in digital format, too. And they'll just lay one at a time.
That's well, when the apocalypse pages. Happens, how are you going to read your digital books?
Matt's reading the pages like a full spread, like just left to right, yeah, totally like, across the two pages.
I don't understand.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
There's no lines guiding me to where I'm supposed to read next.
There's like 300 splash pages of just words in here.
It's like, and they didn't even put them in a box or a bubble. Like, I don't know whose thoughts these are.
God. God damn it. Oh. Okay,
now that
well,
books are ruined for me. Yeah.
So we've kind of already started this, but we're going to talk about how to be a good fan. You know, we've been a little tongue-in-cheek about some of the things going on in pop culture. Fans... We seem to be all terrible people at this point in time. Like, it seems as if...
Welcome to the world.
Yeah. It seems as if it's impossible to have a conversation about the things that we love or things that we dislike without it being venomous and kind of disgusting.
I disagree with that statement.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Sorry. I disagree with your disagreement because I was right in the first place when I started this conversation.
I'm just going to lay on the floor for a while.
I don't know. I have a lot written down, but I am okay kind of leaning back for a moment before I get into things. So is anybody else have any, like, specific ideas?
I feel like, in general, there's not one way. We kind of said how to be a good fan, but there's, you know...
There's a way not to be a douche.
Yes. I think yeah. it should...
It's more how to not be a bad fan.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so I don't know. I want to take this one right off the bat, I guess, because I've been, like, telling this to everybody since I found out about it a couple days ago, is the Endgame cut that I was talking to you earlier.
Yeah.
So apparently there's a bootleg cut of Avengers Endgame out there that has cut out all, or almost all women, all people of color, and no, quote, gay shit. That is a direct quote from the like bylines of the bootleg copy, which apparently they couldn't stand Joe Russo like in the counseling
wow.
session.
I mean, that was I mean, a huge for me, part. This is gonna sound stupid. I could literally care less about that scene. Like, I got the point of it, but I could give two craps less about it.
Well,
it was there at the same time. If you're gonna take your time to cut that stuff out of there, what kind of time do you have?
Yeah. Maybe
that's
you
what I
wait a minute.
Does
that mean there's
ending?
No like embrace between Spider-Man and Iron Man?
I didn't even think about that. Like,
yeah,
that
I guess they do hug, but it's like no explicitly gay characters. So I don't know. I kind of want to watch this just to see how they did it. But there's absolutely no Captain Marvel. That's direct quote once again from the bylines.
I'm not gonna lie to you, that's not difficult to do.
Oh, yeah. Like she only had like three scenes in there.
Well,
yeah,
so explain to me how they arrived back on Earth.
How does Robert Downey Jr. survive? How do they beat Thanos?
Yeah.
In the end. Not old man Thanos.
But the actual
Thanos.
How do they beat old man Thanos?
Simple solution.
Old Thor cuts his head off.
Because Captain Marvel is holding him down, and they held him long enough for them to chop off his arm.
Oh, that's true. That is
he's
true.
He's already pretty weak, though, when they found him, because he's, like, half destroyed by the stones.
Yeah.
So, but you're talking about rewriting a scene and then filming new things in place of that.
That's
we're talking about just cutting that part of the sequence out.
They used her as an easy solution for their problems.
So, but ostensibly this is...
I disagree with that, but that's an entirely different
did this,
conversation.
Whoever did this, you could probably say they are such a, quote, fan of Endgame that they wanted their own. Like, you wouldn't just do this on a whim.
No.
If you weren't invested in the property.
Yeah.
But we can all, I guess, agree that that's objectively not how you go about enjoying a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I live in this realm of, I guess, do what you want. Still asking where you find time to do that.
know,
so,
right.
To me, this is an example of one of the things that I have written down, which is creators don't owe you anything. They don't. The movie that was released is the movie that the creators wanted to release, and that's what's there. It is perfectly fine for you to criticize that, but you're taking somebody else's art and then trying to pass it off as your own. That's being a bad fan, plain and simple. I don't think that there's an argument to that. There's you're editing somebody else's work without their consent. That's bad fandom. That is, you're legitimately saying, I didn't like these elements of it, so I'm just going to make my version, but you don't have the rights. You didn't hire those actors. You didn't pay the animators to do those things. That's not yours to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so by law, you have to add your own. You can comment on.
Oh, this is completely illegal, by the way.
Oh no, it is. What they did is actually extremely illegal. That is extremely illegal. In order for it to be legal, because you can still do things where you're literally watching a movie and commenting on the movie. You have to add your own intake to it. I can't remember what the law is, but you have to do that.
Satire.
Yeah. So that what they're doing is actually technically. So you're also breaking the law.
Yeah. I just, on a simple note though, that's just, that is one of the points of, to me, is being a bad fan. It's like, discussing and criticizing that you didn't like these elements, that's great. That is something you should have. Do I agree with you that those characters, fuck no. But that also brings to my biggest point about fandom is spreading positivity. We're fans because we liked something, right? That's what makes us fans. If I liked something, I want to share it with people. That's a right we all have, is to say, hey, we liked this thing. Let's have some fun with it.
Or force it down people's throats is in most of our
right?
prerogatives
yeah.
here.
What if I didn't like something? I think I'm allowed to talk about it too. But what I'm not allowed to do is make somebody who liked it not like it. It isn't my job to say, oh, you like that thing? It was garbage, and I'm going to tell you why it's garbage, so eventually you'll think it's garbage too. That's being a bad fan.
You got to be careful, though, because I come off really harsh, and I will say things like that, but I don't say it in the verbatim of, you have to hate it. It's the same thing with Batwoman. I don't like their creative take on Batwoman.
But that's
I thought it was garbage.
That's a discussion point. You're not trying to tell me that I'm wrong because I liked the trailer.
Yeah.
And I think that's a distinction that people are not making.
Yeah.
People aren't saying, I didn't like Game of Thrones. People are saying, of Game of Thrones was shit. These are the reasons why it was shit.
And if you like it, then you have an
incorrect You don't opinion. Understand how writing is supposed to work or character development. But that's not the case.
I mean, if we want to play that game, there's a lot of things character development-wise that people say is the most amazing thing ever, and I was like, nothing happened.
And all these things are opinions, which is what they should be. It's a matter of, it is not your job to make me dislike something that I enjoyed.
On a different side of the similar coin, I have, it's kind of impossible to talk about this without bringing up Rick and Morty fandom.
Oh, God.
Because, oh man, I like Rick and Morty, decently, but I'm not gonna go out there and tell you that your taste is bad and you are dumb if you don't get Rick and Morty. There are so many people out there that will, like, you don't watch Rick and Morty, that means you're stupid and illiterate and you don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
I'm gonna disagree with that, because I feel like most people who watch Rick and Morty to that extent, to where they're, like, telling you that you're an idiot, are actually the idiots.
Well, they're bad. They're bad fans. Once again, the topic of the discussion. That makes you a bad fan.
Yeah. And typically, and this is kind of going into a little bit of a rabbit hole here, but these are people that also idolize Rick as a character when Dan Harmon, the creator, has explicitly said, on every occasion that he gets, that Rick is a terrible person, that you should be learning, like, morals from, like, his incorrect actions, not that, like, he's a genius and everyone should be arrogant like right. he is.
True.
Like,
the
literally...
The whole point to Rick is he has no morality, and when...
And literally, every interview with Dan Harmon that you watch, he will go out of his way to bring up that he does not agree with Rick as a, like, moralistically, yeah. ethically, or, like, anything.
So here is a nice conundrum. If you come into contact with somebody who idolizes Rick in the sense that they want to be them, what does the conversation look like? What is it that you say without telling them that they're wrong?
You can totally say things without being, like, rude about it. Like, I don't watch Rick and Morty because I've never appreciated it. Like, my friend made me sit down and watch an episode, and, like, cool, I get why people might like it, but it's really not my thing, and that's just it. It's, like, it doesn't have to be your thing, because that's...
But if you idolize that specific character, which we're being told by the creator is something that you shouldn't do, you should look at this character as a lesson to not do these things, but somebody idolizes themselves or idolizes the character in that positive way, how do we as good fans, how do you approach that conversation?
I'm just analytical with anything and everything that I do every single time. So when it's like, well, I idolize Rick, I'd be like, you realize that Rick wants to kill himself a lot, right? Like 95% of his thought is, how can I kill myself today? And it's doing a bunch of dangerous things. That's how everything, and that's why I always have a hard time and people usually don't like to talk to me, because I'm just completely analytical with stuff like that, and they take it as I'm being rude, and I'm like, no, I'm just telling you, I would unsuggest being that way.
He has a failed suicide attempt on screen where he just gets too drunk to kill himself.
You just both perspectives. It's really easy to do, to be like, yeah, I get your perspective, like, that's totally understandable, and on the same like end, you've got to consider that this is also a perspective.
So for you, it's to show, be like, this is my read on what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. It's like, have you thought about this?
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, because that is a difficult thing. It's like, what legitimately, not what the content that you would spread is, but what does the conversation actually look like? Like, what is it that you're saying to somebody like that without coming off as, my opinion is right, your opinion is wrong? Because the conversations that we're seeing online, what made me think about bad fandom is because that's the problem, is that the opinions are being presented as fact.
Oof, wow. That gets into a whole Age of Spin topic,
Yeah. I mean, this is true. Like, you see things online where people are saying, oh, we didn't want this. Robert Pattinson cast as Batman. People are saying, we don't want this. Well, who's we? Because I want this. I think it sounds good. And I've been a Batman fan since before I could walk, am I not valid?
Cats over there like, ooh.
Well, the thing is with that is I don't speak for everybody. I speak for me in that sense when it comes to stuff like this. Is I speak for myself. Do I want them? No. Mine's just completely because it's just me. That's my opinion. It's the same thing with Batwoman.
So you think being a good fan is to voice things as your own opinion?
Yes.
That's fair.
I don't speak for everybody. I speak for myself. And that has been how I've always lived my life. Because when I start saying we, who the hell is we?
Yeah. If you run a fan club for Batman and say, we, the fan club, don't like this decision,
I would preface that makes it. Sense. I would preface it things like that. So, like, it'd be like, we, and the we would be Andy and I don't like the trailer for Batwoman. That would be the only time I would use we, and even then I don't like it because she has her own voice. She can speak to her own opinion.
That's fair.
You know, it's interesting because I've seen all this, especially with negative talking about like how to be a bad fan versus how to be a good fan. Like all this stuff is revolving around people only saying what's wrong with something.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like being a good fan with something is more of suggesting how it could be better, even if something is great or amazing. Like people talking about Game of Thrones, like in the heat of like the seasons when everybody still loved it, and they're like, "Oh man, I wish! Like I can't believe that Cersei killed Tyrion." There's no spoilers,
right?
It didn't, but like, oh, that's crazy! I loved him. I can't believe they did that. But it was so crazy that they did that way. Yeah. Oh man, that was nuts! I wish they hadn't. But like,
yeah, that's a positive spin.
Yeah,
like, something that you, like, the way you presented that was, I didn't particularly like what happened, but I'm not going to be like, that was the wrong decision, they screwed up the characters.
Yeah.
It was, oh, I can't believe they did that, I would have loved this, but wow, did you see that, you know?
So, like, the thing is, like, for me, I always have a very harsh tone. Not intentionally, it's just a thing where it's just like, yeah, I don't honestly give two shits about it, I really don't. You can keep telling me about it, but you're just gonna, I'm somewhere else. Just so you know, you're great, I love you, I'm somewhere else.
Do you feel the same way if somebody comes at you with a positive opinion about something you disliked, though? Or do you feel like you want to shut it off? Or would you engage yourself in the dialogue?
So the hard part that I have is, and it's just mostly because of how I like Superman, I like everything that everybody else usually shits on all the time. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's just, you know, when someone's like overtly positive about something and just continues to talk about it, I'm like, I get it. You like it. I'm glad you like it. I would like to talk about anything else at this point. I will talk to you about politics at this point because I'm so done with this conversation. But for me, it's not my job to, I don't turn around and like, they can explain their point to me, and they're like, well, I didn't like it. And they're like, well, why? Why didn't you like it? Because of this, this, and this. And then I get, like, sometimes, depending on what it is, I've gotten talked, like, I like Superman. Or if someone's like, I love Batman. I'm like, that's great. Well, don't you like Batman too? I mean, I guess. Well, who's your favorite superhero? Superman. Oh my god, Superman's so terrible. And I'm like, oh my god. Batman's so much better than Superman because this, this, and this. And he's this, and I'm blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, you guys, you know.
You had a conversation with a bad fan because now they're trying to convince you why Superman is less of a character than Batman.
It's what? Just, I've lived in this realm for so many years that it's just not even, like, to me, it's not a blip on my radar. And probably the reason I'm so harsh, I come off as harsh, is because of those conversations. Because, like, I was told when I was, like, 12, well, why do you have that Superman blanket? Because I like Superman. Well, this is a Batman house. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
So why are we in a binary society, too? Like, what is the issue with, like, how come I can't say that I like Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman? Like, I like all three of those characters.
That's disallowed. What are you talking about?
Because it's easy for people to make camps, because then they have somebody to, or make binary camps, because then you have somebody to fight against to then promote your own camp as being the correct one and the other one being the enemy / evil one.
Bringing it back to politics.
Yeah.
God, I don't have any. I don't understand. Yeah. I've hit this point in my life where I'm like, how do people have time for this? this angry about something.
So you just said, sorry, Alex, you just said, like, tear one side down to build it back, to build up your own. But often, it's not bad to be on sides either for things. I mean,
that's true.
But
yeah.
Like, there's only the tearing part I see. There's no, like, building. Like, people saying Superman sucks for A, B, and C reasons, but rarely in that conversation will they give you reasons that Batman is actually a good person, not just that Superman is a bad person.
So usually for me, it's like with that conversation in specifics, I get really shitty really fast, and it's mostly just because I've heard it for so many years, and it's not intentional. And usually when people come at me with the why Superman sucks, I just turn around and I'm just like, all right, let's play a game. And it's usually a list of five things. I stand up and walk away.
It's like, I'm not a big fan of Superman personally, but I'm not going to sit here and convince you that Squirrel Girl is a better superhero than Superman. I'm probably just going to be like, she's awesome. You like Superman too. But, like, why even compare the two?
Well, it's like, it's fun to have the conversations when the conversation is in good fun.
It's fun,
like, goes back to my first point. Spread positivity. Yay. We want people to read comics. We want people to go to these movies because we want to talk about this stuff. We want to have a good time with these things. A lot of art is in this medium is escapism. You know, it's to separate yourself from that. That's why the superhero genre has lasted as long as it has. There is really complicated stories that are also equally enjoyable, and it's nice to hand those to people who've never read a non-superhero comic book. Spread positivity. Mm-hmm. Spread the love of this. I had the Superman Batman, right? You know? Art is subjective. Different points of view receive media differently, and we all need to be cognizant of that fact.
So the biggest thing is usually most of the people who I have these conversations with aren't as... And I'm not saying that I'm super well-versed in all comics or anything like that, but I've spent my fair share of many hours on the internet just looking at all the different Superman stuff and trying to understand him more as a character. And a lot of people that I have these conversations with are usually those who aren't as versed. So for me, I'm like, I hit this point where I'm like, you just don't understand the character. What do you mean you don't understand the character? I'm like, you just don't. Do you want me to explain it to you? You're just going to keep browbeating me. And the thing is usually I give them a more well thought out reason as to why I like Superman, and they usually shut up, and that's usually about the time I can get away.
I would like to say that we maybe should be like, okay, have you read a Superman comic book? Mm-hmm. Like, what is it that you've read that formulates your opinion? Because I have some recommendations if you're willing to try. If you're not, we don't need to be having this conversation.
Mm-hmm. This is totally like outside of nerd culture, but I've found that most people, like, Ayn Rand is a very polarizing author, and everybody that hates her has never read any of her books or essays. I've talked to like, literally, everybody that dumps on her, I'm like, have you ever read any of her books? Well, no, but I know what she's about. No, you just, like, got the Wikipedia byline of, like, her ideas.
Yeah. She has a lot of weird... Yeah, she is a very extremely...
Very polarizing. I'm not going to get into that.
Right. No. But it's the same concept with me is, like, for me, it's hard because it's, like I said, it's this is the one, like, the Batman-Superman thing has always been a conversation in my life, and usually it's just, I get shitty really fast because, like, I've talked about this, like, how old am I? Yeah, I've talked about this for forever, so if we're done here, I would really appreciate if you stop shitting on my favorite superhero, but you keep on telling me how great Batman is.
Then that's the point of view thing. Like, if you grew up reading or seeing only Batman TV shows and you were handed a Batman comic book and you watched the 89 movie and all these things...
Don't know anybody who that describes.
Right, exactly. You might have an affinity towards the character of Batman. That makes sense. We need to be cognizant that somebody else had a completely different experience. And
I don't know who that would be. Right?
But these things are great because you're supposed to have the conversations, but we should all recognize that, like, hey, you know what? I kind of like candy-coated ultraviolence in my movies. I do. I think it's crazy. I love the Kill Bill franchise.
But I if thought you get Sucker into- Punch was a good movie.
I actually really like that movie too.
Not deserving of awards, but it was fun for what it was.
I enjoyed that movie. I didn't think anybody else did.
It's how you yourself receive it. You know, like what piece of it? Like talking about Game of Thrones, there were so many like visual elements to the last season that I fell for that I could forgive some things that were story conceits. I was like, well, that's fine because. Like, look what they focused on. They made a cinematic experience, and you can't discount that because it's gorgeous. It's, you know, it's a cinematic achievement. So it's the different point of view. When I was watching that, I also got lost in that element of what we were seeing.
And I think that's especially interesting to bring up since we're all comic book nerds here, because you can like certain aspects of something that you like can outweigh bad aspects.
Yeah,
that's true.
Like, you know, comic books, like, you might read a book because the art is just gorgeous, and every time somebody says something, you're just like, shut up! I hate the story,
see,
I hate
and
everything
then there's the opposite of that, where I'm like, I'm loving everything, stop looking at the art.
Exactly, that's just the one that you just, like, quickly read through the narration and dialogue just to not see the people.
Right. And then you're like, oh crap, I missed something. I gotta actually look at pictures.
You know, more adult animation, because that's apparently the only thing I watch. But, like, I love BoJack Horseman, the show.
Yeah.
BoJack Horseman, the character, is terrible. He's the worst piece of shit, like, on TV possible. He makes Rick Sanchez look like a saint. But I love the show. Hate the guy.
So I think me and Nat even had a disagreement. I don't personally like being browbeat with something, so I have a hard time, like, I used to really love Hunger Games, and then everybody loved Hunger Games, and that's all my Facebook was full of, that's all anybody ever talked about, and like, did you read the game of Hunger Games? Yes, we've had this conversation 9 times. I have read Hunger Games, I've read them all. Isn't it so great? Yep. Can I stop now? And that's usually, for me, a lot of stuff that becomes extremely popular, I usually disengage from rather quickly, and it's because I hate being browbeat and talking about it all the time. I really do.
I think that's fair, right? Like, you don't want to...
It ruins things for me sometimes. Like, I used to, like, with Hunger Games, I loved those books. I was browbeat to death with those because of the movies. I also really loved the movies. Browbeat to death that I didn't even see the last one in theaters.
Well, and that brings me to another point, is that when things like just an adaptation, for instance,
mm-hmm.
The originals always exist. No one's ever taking that stuff away from you. Continuity that matters is the continuity that matters to you. We see a lot of it in the Star Wars fandom that people are like, well, that stuff is now Legends now and it's not canon. It's like, but it's part of your emotional canon and what you loved about the stories, so why is it not important anymore? Because it's important to you. Like, there's a lot of that, like, that is something that I don't know. I've never seen a version of Batman on screen that is what is in my head is Batman. But you know what? That version of Batman that exists is always in my head. It doesn't go away because Robert Pattinson is cast as Batman on the screen, or because Batman, you know, it unwittingly kills a bunch of people because he flips over a truck. You know, it's like, well, that's not my version of Batman, but mine didn't go away. I don't understand, like, and this is coming across hot because of the Game of Thrones situation. It's like, oh, they would never do this in the book. So it's like, well, the book didn't just burn up because episode 6 happened, you know? Like, that stuff doesn't go away. So for me, when it comes to that,
I think some people just don't understand how to say, I don't enjoy your creative take of what you did.
And that's being a bad fan. That's something we have to learn. We have to sit down and realize that because it's the popular version of something, doesn't make it the more important version. What matters to you is what matters, period.
This is why I spend way too much time on DeviantArt reading fanfics about, you know, all my various fandoms, because I like certain people's takes on certain things. It's out of canon, but, you know, if I get a whole, like, Worf mini-story, like, I'm all about that, what he does on his day off.
And that's kind of the other part of it, too. I don't like the CW's creative take on Batwoman, and I'm not telling them they're wrong. I'm like, I just don't like your take on it, and I just kind of move on with my day, and then for the next 2 hours, all I see is on Facebook how great it is, and I'm like, I hate you. I just hate the internet.
But that's... See, but I'm going to push back on that, because you shouldn't... I don't think you should be saying, I hate you, to those people. You think you should be saying... That's your opinion. That's not what I got from it.
It's not to those people in specifics. It's the internet that just keeps browbeating me with things. That's what I'm saying is I hate the internet. I'm like, can we do something else?
Yeah. Well, and I think obviously this is what spawned this discussion is because it's a difficult time to be a fan sometimes. Like you just get onto things and it's like, I like something and I want to feel proud of the fact that I liked it, but I don't need to be told that I'm not supposed to.
Yeah.
That's... It feels bad.
You look like you're about to say something, Alex. Sorry.
No, there's just so many things. I mean, I agree with the whole internet thing. Like, once the internet picks up on, like, any bit of news, that's, like, all that's on your feed for days. And it's, like, it's so tiring. You need a new topic. Like, I almost avoid social media once I know a topic is going to be big for a couple of days, because I'm so tired of seeing the same thing over and over and over again.
I can honestly say that's exactly why I was kind of salty with Captain Marvel, because that's my entire feed, was anything and everything about Brie Larson and Captain Marvel, and I'm like,
yeah,
something else, please. Nope. Something else, please. Nope. Okay.
I didn't really think it was all that great. Like, the movie was good. I just didn't think it was, like, absolutely fantastic, and everybody was raving because it was, like, the first female superhero movie that Marvel had done.
I'm glad you got that perspective, because I saw the complete opposite side of that, where people were having a bunch of negative opinions about Captain Marvel because of Brie Larson, who I thought delivered a great performance.
I mean, that's the only reason that I was like, it was okay.
So. Like, I can get, honestly, with Brie Larson, she's not a bad actress. I don't care for her opinions, but...
Right,
I don't care.
And that's divorcing yourself from the art and the artist.
Sometimes I have a bit...
Gwyneth Paltrow for me.
See, yeah. That one I don't know how I can do, and it might just be because... Because you see her, and then you hear the words in your head, and you're just trying to, like, shovel them out as you're trying to watch something.
I love your movies, but, God, every second that you're not on camera is terrible for me.
You're a great actress. I can't stop hearing what you're saying outside of your career, though, and it's hurting me.
Yeah. But I also don't want to say that people are wrong for liking Gwyneth Paltrow as a person, because I'm sure, you know, she's not like Hitler. I'm sure she has friends.
Different perspective, different upbringings, right?
Well, and that's my thing, is it's like, sometimes I have a difficulty with that, and Gwyneth Paltrow is one of them, and it's just not even like I'm angry with her, it's just like, ah, sweetie. sweetie.
For me, I just don't. Stuff like I scroll past things very quickly. I'm an Instagrammer and not a Facebooker, so and that's...
that is a wise decision. And I think there's good. I have to just learn to go to a news site and stop going to Facebook because that's where everything goes to die.
I think though, the big takeaway again, let's spread positivity, talk about the things that you love, and be willing to listen, but. Share positive things.
Build stuff up and don't break it down.
Yeah.
Like,
let the writers do that.
Be the change you want to see in the world. Pretty sure Grant Morrison said that.
I guess. All right. I hurt.
Grant Morrison is Gandhi now? What a plot twist.
That's Grant Morrison. That makes sense. That
does seem like it's plausible.
That does seem like a Grant Morrison twist.
Yeah.
The whole time
he was just Gandhi.
So for the other half of that is I would say you're allowed to have harsh opinions. Because I have some pretty harsh ones on what Disney is doing right now. And Endgame is really what it comes down to is, am I asking them to change anything? Nope. Do I think what they're doing is dumb? A little bit, but that's my opinion.
Yeah. They want to make money, let them make money.
I don't care.
Ultimately, yeah. It is a business. So.
Yeah. I don't like it when Squirrel Girl isn't drawn thicker, but, you know, that's my personal preference.
And that one doesn't go away.
Yep. It does not. Anyway. All
right. Well, I think we've made it, which is don't tell someone else how to have an opinion on something like art or comics or anything. You can have your own.
Thank you for that, Kat.
I think anytime.
Great sign-off words right there.